Christian life is a balanced life. He created us spirit, soul, and body. But there was one part of this that people could not enter into in the Old Testament. Let me show you Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read in verse 12. I want to ask you, how many of you have understood this verse? The word of God is living and sharper than a two-edged sword. That part we know, it's very sharp. But it says it pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit. Do you know that there are some Christians who don't believe there is a division between soul and spirit? That's how blind people can be. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, man is spirit, soul, and body. There are three parts of man, just like there are three persons in God. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and man was made in God's image. And there's a Trinity in man, spirit, soul, and body. The body is this part we see. The soul is our personality, which is our mind, our feelings, and our will. And the spirit is deeper than that. It's in our spirit that we have a conscience. A person can have a very alert soul and a dead spirit. That means his conscience is dead, even though he's very brilliant in his mind. Spirit is the deepest part of man, and it is dead. Most of it is dead in an unconverted person. He's got a little bit of conscience that stirs up there, a little bit of the image of God there, but most of it is dead. And when we are born again, it is the spirit that comes alive. And the conscience becomes sensitive to sin. And God's purpose is that the spirit will become more and more alive and rule the whole body. We're not supposed to destroy our soul. I don't believe in destroying my mind. I use my mind a lot for my regular work in the world and for studying the Bible. But my soul and my feelings don't run my life. The trouble with people in the world is their mind runs their life. Or with trouble with many Christians is their feelings run their life. I was like that in the early days of my life when I didn't, as a Christian, I didn't know. I felt nice one day, depressed another day, and my feelings ran my life. And my feelings made life miserable for other people who came in touch with me. A lot of Christians are like that. They're gloomy one day and happy another day. Because they haven't learned to divide between soul and spirit. They haven't learned to live in the spirit. They're living in the soul. Living in the soul means living in your intellect or living by your feelings. When you live by your feelings, you can be depressed yourself and you can depress other people. To divide, when the word of God divides between soul and spirit, and I learn to live by my spirit determines my soul, how it's going to function. And the wonderful thing is, it even begins to control my body, that my body becomes healthier. God's will is that the spirit should rule our soul and body. A picture in the Old Testament tabernacle. If you have seen a picture of the Old Testament tabernacle, that tent, the tabernacle was a big compound, an open compound, surrounded by a white sheet. That is a picture which everybody could see. It's the picture of the body, which everybody can see. Inside that compound was a tent, covered. And that tent had two parts, which is a picture of soul and spirit. And the first part is a picture of the soul, and the second part, called the most holy place, was a picture of the spirit. And that was the tabernacle of God, or God's dwelling place, symbolized body, soul, and spirit. And that spirit was the most holy place, in front of which there was a thick curtain. And that thick curtain is a picture of your will. Your strong will, which refuses to be torn. You see that in a little child. How stubborn it can be. It's a strong will. And that's why one of the most important things we need to do with little children is to break their stubborn will. If you want them to grow to be spiritual when they are young. Have you heard the story of that little 2-year-old boy who his father told him, sit down. He said, no, I'm not going to sit down. Father said, sit down. No. So father took the stick and said, sit down. He sat down and he said, Daddy, but I'm still standing up inside. Now the question is, how do you make the child inside to sit down? That's difficult. You can use a stick and make the outside child sit down, but the inside one's still standing up, defiant. And one day when he's 18, 19 years old, he won't even sit down on the outside. He'll just defy you to your face and say, mind your own business. That will is like that thick curtain. And nobody understood it in the Old Testament. Beyond that lay the most holy place where God dwelt, teaching us that if this will is not broken, you will never get into fellowship with God. Now I want to say to all of you who got a strong, stubborn will, whether your husband or wife or anybody, if you don't let God break that will, you will never enter the most holy place. You will never have fellowship with God. You'll have religion, like a lot of Christians have. But fellowship with God, which is the most wonderful experience that any human being can have. Do you know what is the result of fellowship with God? The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in His presence there is fullness of joy. You know where fullness of joy is? It is not in sex. It's not in money. It's not even in praise and worship meetings. It is in His presence. And you can have that joy even if you can't sing for nuts. If you can't sing two lines properly. It makes no difference. If this veil is rent, you know what happened when Jesus died? The veil was rent from top to bottom, symbolizing what? Symbolizing that for 33 years, He allowed the Father to break His will as a man and to say, never my will, Father, never my will, only Your will. The veil was rent and the way into the Father. That's why Jesus enjoyed fellowship with the Father all the time. You think that you can have fellowship with the Father just by a nice time of praise and worship. And you know it doesn't last. You go out of that meeting and in the afternoon you're back to your old self. The veil has to be rent. All this type of emotion is in the holy place, in the soul. It's in the soul, and many people don't understand it. What many people call a baptism in the Holy Spirit is actually a baptism in the soul. And we need to distinguish between baptism in the soul and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit will rend this veil and take you into life in the Spirit, into fellowship with the Father. That's why it's very closely linked to the cross. The Bible says the Spirit led Jesus to the cross. Have you read that verse? Hebrews chapter 9. See this verse. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Please turn in your Bibles if you want to become familiar with the Bible. If you want to remain ignorant, please just listen to me. But if you want to become familiar with the Bible, turn to your verse in your Bibles. This is how many people remain ignorant. Hebrews 9:14. Jesus Christ, in the middle of that verse, through the eternal Spirit, offered Himself to God. Do you know how Jesus offered Himself to God on the cross? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the cross. Even today. He will lead you to the cross means He'll lead you to the rending of the veil. He'll lead you into fellowship with the Father. The veil has already been rent. Fellowship with the Father is open. But you have to choose that way. It's not a once-for-all event for you. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, 21, verse 19 and 20. Brethren, since we have confidence to enter, this means the most holy place, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, not a door. I hope you know the difference between a door and a way. A door is something you enter in a moment. A way is something that takes a whole lifetime. And the veil is not called a door, even though it looks like a door. It's a way which Jesus inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And whenever you read the word flesh in this connection, always it means self-will. When we say Jesus had a flesh, it means He had a will of His own, which He denied. John 6:38 says He denied it all His life. The Garden of Gethsemane, He denied it. That was the rending of the veil.